Welcome to the Electra International series, Think Like a Leader. We all enjoy hearing another person's success story, and we hope our conversations with leaders from across the electrical construction industry will help spark your interest and creativity in finding ways you can think like a leader. Today's a little bit different. Our interviewee, Laura Caro, is not involved with Electra International right now, but she's going to be. Laura has been selected by the St. Paul chapter of MECA to represent the chapter as the rep for the Electric Council. So thank you very much for joining us, Laura. We really do appreciate you taking the time to be here with us today.
Thank you. I'm very happy to talk with you today.
So when I was doing a little bit of digging and looking, I found out that your company, Gunner Electric, has been serving the Twin Cities for 52 years. You've been with the company since 2005. How would you say the company has grown during the past 15 years?
I've actually been with the company longer than that because my parents owned it. So growing up, we spent a lot of time, me and my brother and siblings, working at Gunner. In 2005 is when I came in full time. And it's been amazing to see what the change has been in the last 15 years. When I came in, we were actually located in a small, it used to be a house, actually. My dad and I shared an office. And then he retired shortly after I got my master's license. And then I got my own office, finally. The culture's changed a lot. My brother and I took over the company. We bought my mom out back in 2014. And one of the biggest things that we've worked on a lot is, as we've been growing and growing the business, is to make sure our culture is apparent and spread out to our field and our entire office. So they all know what to expect from us. And it's been very exciting and very challenging to see the different changes that have occurred since I was a little kid working in ditches.
Laura, can you give us an example or two of the kinds of changes that you've seen? And not necessarily all the way back from when you were a little kid running around sharpening pencils, but since you have taken over the president role in 2014, can you give us a couple of examples of things? Well, we used to do this, but now we do this.
The biggest thing I can think of when you're talking changes is technology. Everything is now digital. We don't keep paper files. That was one of the hardest things for the old ownership, my parents, to understand, well, why don't you keep job files anymore? And said, well, because they're all digital. We can save them on the server. So accepting the change, and actually we've open arms have really embraced the technology. And luckily during the last 2 years with COVID and having people work remote, being 100% digital was very easy for us to transition to that. Other culture things, as we've grown, when my parents ran it, it was very loose. There was really no organizational structure in place. There was really no accountability, HR manuals, employee manuals. Just setting up processes like that has been huge and much needed as we've grown and as new leadership has taken over.
Your skill set, yours personally, includes things like estimating and project management and even field installation. Do you think that those skills had a direct effect on your ability to lead? Or is the leading more of a learn-as-you-go concept in your company?
I feel like it's definitely been learn-as-you-go. I started in here my first year out of the field doing the estimating and project management, knowing how every single set of operations in our company works, from working out in the field to being a delivery truck driver to the estimating project management role to now being in charge of the accounting and the insurance. It's definitely been learn as you go, but also understanding how every aspect and what everybody in this company has to do, what their role is, and relying on them to help me understand what they need from me as a leader.
We know that you have very deep interest in having women in the trades. Gunner is involved with something called Power Partners Minnesota, we understand. And the efforts are being made with your help, even to create things like videos such as Power Girls Powered. Tell us about that organization, Power Partners Minnesota, and what that means to you.
Must have been 2 years or 3 years ago, actually, the Girl Scouts of Minnesota River Valley came to one of our board meetings in the St. Paul board meeting at NECA, talking about a program that they have where they bring in girls to a one-week camp, and they do hands-on activities from electrical to carpentry, bringing in people who know project management, estimating, all of that. And they were looking for us to, they were more looking for money, but a lot of us listening, we're very interested. Well, we want to be part of that. We want to work on the hands-on stuff. So must have been about 2 months ago, they actually were able to have their camp. And we had probably between 15 to 20 women and men from the Minneapolis and St. Paul Union and NECA out. And we did hands-on activities. They made a little board with a light switch and then an outlet. And they did everything hands-on. They started with a little diagram. To be out there and have these wonderful ladies that are in our union and work with the union and NECA together to show them hands-on skill was great. Some of these girls had never really thought about being an electrician, and they got to see these great electricians that were there helping them. So being able to get in front of kids, especially middle school and high school, is super important to talk about construction as a career and maybe open their eyes to a different avenue that maybe they don't need to go to a four-year college. Minneapolis and St. Paul, I think, are doing a great job throughout our construction industry here with different programs. There's another one called Construct Tomorrow that we've been very active in, and they bring kids by the busload from different high schools to, let's call it like the Civic Center, and they will have 16 different trades doing hands-on activities to show these kids what a day in the life of a plumber or an electrician or a cement layer would be. Any of those programs that, you know, it's not only just trying to get recruit women, it's recruiting everybody and talking to these kids about what a day in the life of a construction worker is huge and I think very much needed.
For the materials that Donner presents to its clients and customers and potential customers, you talk about a variety of certification programs. There's one that's called Central Certification, and there's Disadvantaged Business Enterprise. Another one is Targeted Business Group. As a smaller contractor and a minority owner, as a woman owner, are these programs valuable to your leadership approach?
Absolutely. Our company we've partnered up with some of the largest electrical contractors in the Twin Cities metro area on big projects with federal funded money. The U.S. Bank Stadium, the Vikings, Twin Stadium, State Capitol renovation, Target Center renovation, the Gopher Stadium. We get to work with another electrical contractor, and they have helped mentor me and my project managers on larger projects. We would never have had that opportunity working on a typical project that Gunner Electric in the past has chased. So being able to have that mentorship and work on those kind of projects has been really valuable to our company.
So now you have the opportunity to serve your company and your St. Paul chapter and all your fellow contractors out there by serving as the representative for the chapter at the founder level giving to the Electric Council. What do you hope to bring back to your chapter members from your involvement with Electric?
One of the biggest things that I think that we have never taken advantage of is all of the great studies that have been done. I hadn't realized how many studies Electric puts out, and going on the website and just looking at all the stuff that's available for us to download, it's amazing. The webinars that I've been invited to have been great. You know, 2 weeks ago, just talking about different tax strategies and the roundtable, listening to other contractors and actually hearing, you know, because you can hear from a professional advisor, but when somebody actually asks a question that pertains to your industry, it's so valuable. So being able to share that and share those links back to our chapter is going to be amazing, especially for a smaller mid-sized contractor that doesn't necessarily have all of that stuff at their disposal.
When you think about electric going forward and the fact that it is a fairly well-invested foundation that does have the resources to use on programs, you would say to me, you know, Carolyn, I hope over the next couple of years, electric takes the opportunity for initiatives such as
workforce development. I've been so active in different things going on in the Twin Cities for workforce development. And so many places have great programs. Let's have a national group. Let's share what this territory is doing, what this state is doing, and what's working and what's not, and actually have that all put together and some sort of resource for the nation to use.
Do you experience a workforce shortage now in the Twin Cities market?
You know, it's been very difficult the last 2 years because work has been slower and we haven't been hiring apprentices, but there are 20 electricians retiring on a monthly basis. We're not feeding that pipeline because there's a little bit of a shortage of projects. If we're not feeding that pipeline and they're retiring, we're going to be losing all of that knowledge and we're losing the opportunity to be training people. So it's almost like a perfect storm at this point. But I'm hoping that work does pick up and we can start hiring those apprentices and bringing them back into the pipeline, sharing that knowledge before people retire. I think that's huge.
When the pandemic first hit, companies had to do as much as they could, as fast as they could to cope. And then we all kind of breathed a sigh of relief and we thought we were out of the woods. Now, maybe we're not because there are resurgences in different parts of the country. Did your company have to do anything particular? And how did your employees react to what you had to do to get through the pandemic months safely?
You know, you have your office, and you have your field. The field, they weren't happy having to wear masks. They weren't happy about having to use hand sanitizer and scrambling to get the right stuff so they would feel comfortable being on a job site was a huge mess at the very beginning too. I had to buy 500 little Gunner Electric logoed hand sanitizers because you couldn't buy any. You would scramble a little bit. And then, you know, same with the office, making sure everybody in here feels safe coming to work. We did work remotely for about 6 months when it first started. And luckily we had the processes in place in the office that we could. And I still do have two workers that are 100% remote because that's where they feel comfortable. So making sure that you're making your team feel safe and comfortable. And yeah, we had to do a lot of changes, but being a smaller business, I think we are a little bit more agile that we can kind of roll with the punches.
If you had to describe to me the one thing that's best about being a leader, what would you tell me?
My favorite part about being a leader is seeing my team succeed, seeing any person on the team succeed, giving them the tools that they need. That's my biggest success. I really enjoy making sure that the whole team is growing, that they're happy, that they're seeing wins. And that's my favorite part about being a leader.
What's the best advice that you ever received professionally?
I think it was probably from my mom. The moment that you're in business, you should be looking at how you're going to get out. So what's the end game? Where are we going? How are we growing our team so that when I retire, that we're able to still succeed? That's, to me, you know, how you're growing your business.
And is there anything specific that I haven't asked you about that you'd like to make sure you share with our audience today?
Be involved. I hate hearing people complain about something that's going on in our industry, local, state, national, that's not doing anything. If you've got a complaint and you don't like the way things are going, get involved in your organizations and be the change.
Well, Laura, thank you so much for joining us today. I've learned several things. I've learned that always think about what the end game is going to be, whether you're in 1 year or you're in 50 years, you've got to know where you're headed. I've learned that the importance of being a leader is to really make sure that your team and your group or your family, whatever you're leading, is successful at whatever they are trying to do. We appreciate your time, and we definitely look forward to your involvement with Electra International, particularly as we move forward with projects that deal with the workforce and getting more people into electrical construction. So for our audience, thank you again for joining us. You can follow this conversation either on the video or it'll be a podcast that you can listen to. That's it for now. Enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you for joining us for today's Think Like a Leader conversation. You can access every interview in this series on our website, electri.org, or you can subscribe on your favorite podcast app. This is a remarkable look inside the electrical construction industry, and it's yours for the listening.